After 2 years of hard work, Citizens Group Protection Mondiale, with the help of its partners, including nonprofit conservation organization Appalachian Corridor, its financial partners, and community support, have succeeded in protecting 34.7 acres of a high ecological value forest in Bromont's Mondiale area. Good day, listeners. I am your host, Taylor McClure, and you are tuning in to CIDI's Daily News Show, Township's Daily News Bits. On today's episode, I chat with Stephanie Latour, spokesperson for Protection Mondiale, and Melanie Lelievre, director of Appalachian Corridor, about this feat and what this means for Mondiale moving forward. So Stephanie and Melanie, I just wanted to start off by thanking you both so much for coming to CIDI. It's finally nice to put some faces to your names and for chatting with us about your recent feat in protecting a part of Mondiale in Bromont. I really appreciate it. Appalachian Corridor and Protection Mondiale have officially announced the protection of 34.7 acres of high ecological value forest in Bromont's Mondiale area. Stephanie, I know that this feat is something that Protection Mondiale has been really looking forward to. So how does it feel to have succeeded in protecting this piece of land with the help of Appalachian Corridor?
There's many feelings involved, I think. I mean, we have been working for 2 years. So, and it's still hard to believe. We went back to the forest and then we realized that nothing will ever change. So that's what's quite impressive. And I will say we are really proud of the entire group and what we achieved in the way we did it, by being super respectful with all the parties involved and by providing a lot of communication between us to make sure that we were understood, like all the everything that was happening around it. We are super grateful for the community support and the sense of community that was created around our neighborhood as well, which is still going on and we'll still live after this project. So I will say we are thankful because so many people helped us along the way. I will mention other citizen group in other area that was really, really generous. And a special thanks to Legacy Funds for the environment as well, who believed in us in the first place and provided us like money to being able to access lawyer and fiscalist, for example, because there's so many things going on around these types of project. And yes, as a citizen, you don't really understand all those points. So that was super nice. And of course, I will say we are super thankful for the owner who agreed to work with us, for the city of Bromont as well, who decided it was worth it, and for the Corridor Appalachien, who really did pretty much all the works. they really are the one who make this happen. They have a strong expertise. They have to negotiate with the owner, and they have to find some funds as well. So we just follow the lead, and take our part as well. So we are super happy.
And Melanie, why was it so important for Appalachian Corridor to support Protection Mondiale in protecting this part of the forest? I know that these sort of projects are exactly what the group is looking for.
Yeah. Well, every project is important, and such high ecological value has to be protected, and we have to put efforts in it. But in this particular case, we rapidly went to the conclusion that this forest was very, very important, so very high ecological value. And the threat was very high because the owner, the former owner, the promoter, already had all the permits and authorization to go with his housing development project. 12 houses would have built all around this wonderful forest. Plus, the citizens were really attached to this property, so it has a very strong attachment. And I would say we take more and more into account this aspect, because ecological biodiversity is important in itself, but also, when it's important for a citizen, for people, it's also to take into account.
Now, can you both speak on the fundraising and the work that went into protecting this forest? Like you said, Stephanie, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
And it started in 2021 for us, because before everything like was happening, I mean, we first, the citizen group, which is not an OSBL, which is not like recognized, we were just like gathering together and say, mm-hmm, we can work together. And we had to sign first an agreement with the owner back in 2021. So, because at one point, doing these types of projects require a lot of time, a lot of money investment from all the parties involved as well. So we were asked to raise, 120K back to 2021, which we did, by, pretty much going, like knocking on the door on our neighbors and asking them, explaining them the project. And we raised this money, like, within the 2 months that we have. So that was the starting point, because at one point, I think everyone realized that the citizen group was like really serious into what we want to achieve. So this is where like, Corridor Appalachien came, and worked with us. And we had an agreement with them as well. So we had our part of responsibility as a citizen group. So we divided the task at one point. So that was the first part. And the second part came, when the agreement was signed with the owner and we agreed in terms of financial, when we agreed on that. So, it was for the citizen part, it was like we had to raise 370K. And this is where like the real work started behind the scenes. So there was a lot of stuff going on. We did like a lottery, an auction. We had a benefits evening that was done at Edgar as well. That was impressive to see like the community, like support that we have. Like we have many donors. I mean, I think more than 300 donors at the end.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think 330
or something like that. I mean, and there was a lot of like people like us who decided that it's super important to protect these types of forests and they want to get involved into this project. And we also had like company that was involved at the end, which I can mention, Groupe Montigny is going to be a huge part of the economic development that Bromont decided to invest, within the project because he thinks like it was good for the community. So that was a lot of work. But at the end of the day, it's how we bring the community together. I think that was super special. So
yeah. And on your part, Melanie, how was Appalachian Corridor involved? I know, like Stephanie said, you work a lot with the actual landowner to get these projects off the ground.
Yeah. So when we stepped in that project, the group of citizens already made the context favorable for negotiation and discussion. So first, the landowner was ready to consider another alternative to just develop his land. And as well, the city of Bromont was willing to put aside this project that was coming with quite a bunch of money on plantation rights and taxes on those property. So first we looked at the financial terms of this project. Since the value of the property was so high, it was not eligible for public grants. Okay. And that was a major problem. So we looked at the ecological value. We started to make analysis, gather all the data available on that piece of land. And we looked at the possibility to let go a little parcel of land in which the promoter could maintain a small housing development on that part of the project while keeping the major sensitive area and the main acreage of the property so that the value could be less and could be eligible for a conservation project. But that was not an easy task because conservation groups making housing development possible, the line is it's blurred, but it was necessary or we couldn't move on.
Yeah.
So we made our condition on what really had to be protected with all the data we have. It was not an easy for them to accept the part of the property we wanted not to buy and buy the rest, but they finally agreed. And it was a small piece of land on which, with the bylaws that was enforced, could only make possible one or two houses. So we asked the municipality to consider changing its bylaws to increase the density and made it possible for three or four houses on that small plot of land. Mm-hmm. So that would have increased the value of that 3 acres, while the rest of the property, the value was like $1 million less.
Okay.
So that made the project eligible.
Okay.
So the value, the ecological value was there. From there, we moved on to have a sale and purchase agreement with the landowner. And the municipality accept to go with a bylaw change. And so we signed the agreement and we moved on with the funding of this property. So the citizen had to raise close to $400,000, which was an amazing work.
That's a big sum for a citizens group.
Yeah. And they did it. And without them, it would have not be possible for us to do all this amount of work because we already had other conservation projects that were ongoing with similar efforts that has to be done on local campaigns. So we went for public funding at the provincial level, at the federal level, with a couple of other foundation, plus the contribution of the city of Bromont. We had to go through all the legal aspect of this type of transaction. So looking at the titles, the servitudes that apply on the property and so on. We made it possible and we were really relieved. It was a lot of,
I think it's really important to understand that as a citizen group, you need to do your part as well.
Yeah.
So that was like, they already had so many things to do on their side. It's not easy to knock at the door of the government and ask for this project. And it's a long time process. So it was super important for us to get like to be responsible and to say, okay, so this is our part. Like, we're going to talk to each other. We know how to do it. We're not going to knock on the wrong door. But that was really like a teamwork at the end of the day that needs to happen. We needed them at the beginning because, you know, we are not a recognized organism as a citizen group and we can't like provide tax receipts. That's why we knock on their door because they were able to do it. We signed an agreement at one point that was super clear. I mean, this is your role. This is our role.
And this is a very good example of the collaborative model of Appalachian Corridor. It's really to bring our expertise and all the professional support on conservation transaction with local initiative.
Yeah, exactly. Citizens initiatives, but you provide the expertise that are needed for their initiative.
As well, for all our affiliate members, they're local conservation groups. So they initiate the projects. They have the, you know, the knowledge, the local knowledge of their neighbors, of who can support this. So
you fill in the gaps.
We could have, when we started the project, we thought it was like worth it. And we thought it was like a great ecological environment to protect, but we didn't have access to anything to tell us that because, I mean, it's the owner who has like all the document. And at one point, Corridor Appalachien was able to tell us like, yes, this is a high value places and high value forest to protect. So we rely on them like from the beginning, like to say, okay, so this is the expertise we don't have.
I think it's one of the reason why there's that type of success in the Green Mountains and Eastern Townships in the area for conservation on private land. It's the area in Quebec where we have the highest concentration of conservative initiative and conservation projects on private land. And I think this has to do with this
sense of community, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the significance behind our natural landscapes here. We're very lucky for that. There's not very many areas like ours anymore. No. So we're speaking about this part of the Mont-Gael and how it's of high ecological value. What about it is in high ecological value, Melanie? What about this forest is so important to protect and to take into consideration?
So that forest is within one of the 9 Mont Origen Hills in Quebec. And the Mont Origen Hills has been recognized as a priority for conservation because they offer a specific condition for soil and forests that grow there. Plus, the Mont-Brome range is within a large unfragmented forest core that has been identified by Appalachian Corridor. And this is within our conservation strategy. And in this specific forest, we found old growth forests, so very large trees and old trees. It's surrounded by other protected property. So 3 sides of this land is surrounded by other conservation projects.
Okay.
As well, we found many threatened species like plants and amphibians that are present there that are rare. So for all these reasons, we had to protect, and it was really worth it.
Yeah, and I know, I remember when I spoke to you last time, having conservation projects that are like linked to create that unfragmented corridor is one of your major focuses, like to have these lands linking together and not to have them spread out all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nature doesn't like things that are isolated.
Yeah.
And it works in network. Ecosystem function has to be connected with others. Yeah. So we're trying to have a network of protected area that are connected.
Now, what does this mean for Mongale moving forward? It's going to be preserved, obviously, but will it be used by citizens? Like, are there plans to put walking trails in, for example?
There's two things that's going to happen. Like, of course, I mean, we're going to keep what we already had. So Melanie mentioned it at the beginning, but the community are like really used to work the trail that are already there. So we will be able to enjoy it as we are able to enjoy it today. And the other part, I mean, I think it's a new adventure for everyone. So now it's, as Melanie always mentioned to me, it's the beginning of something else, like once it's preserved. So we hope that all the citizens will be taking part of the stewardship that's going to happen, because this is what's going to happen next. So
yeah. And do you have anything to add to that, Melanie? Or?
It's going to be protected forever. So we'll do our homework related to that. We'll be sure this forest is maintained the way it is well preserved, and its agile habitat are maintained. So we'll make some stewardship, some visit, and we'll be sure as well that the trails that are already there are correctly designed. So maybe this summer we'll make some little work on the trails that are there to be sure that they're not presenting any threats to the fragile plant population.
Yeah.
And we'll work with Protection Mongale to have them as a steward on the land and make them visit and be sure that they are our ears and our eyes on that property.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to have their support and help with the stewardship.
Yeah, and everyone is super excited to keep being involved. I mean, at one point, everyone is proud to say like we did it. So we want to take part of the other part as well. So
and we'll probably put signs to recognize the donors and thank the financial partners. Maybe we'll have a couple of interpretive
signs. Panels.
Panels on the property as well.
Nice. Now, what I'm curious about is, are there any plans to protect other parts of Mongale? That was my question. That was my...
For now, most of the Mongale is not protected. I mean, that was quite part of the last land.
I'm not like aware of that area, so I wasn't sure.
No, but as Melanie mentioned, I mean, the Mongale is part of the Montregion. Okay, so it's part of it. So it's part of Montbrome as well. And there's still a lot of work to do, like on Montbrome, to protect other area. You know, there's a lot of development. We still need to like keep an eye of what can be done on the other side of the mountain.
So there's only 8% of the Montbrome Forest Corps, this hill that is actually protected forever. So there's still a lot of work to do. I think we have agreed on, like, with the local group, us and the city, there's an objective of protecting 500 hectares within the next 5 or 6 years. So
this is the municipality of Bromont?
Yeah. Well, the Brome Forest Corps touches as well Lake Brome municipality. And a little part of Brigham.
Well, those are all the questions that I had for you both. I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention before we sign off.
Yes, I might kind of mention one thing. I mean, in part of the citizen group, because for now, as I was mentioning, like during the press conference, we took a little break just to actually like taking time to see what we're going to do next. But one thing is certain, that, and we learned it along the way, but we are more than ever convinced that our conservation organization, like Corrida Appalachien, and our cities need strong support from citizens so that government at all levels do even more to protect our ecosystem. So it's our duty as a citizen to support their demands and to add our voice to theirs as well.
Yeah, well, first we want to thank everybody that worked on this project and specifically Stéphanie and all the volunteers from Protection Mongale, the City of Bromont, Government of Quebec, Government of Canada, which supported as well this project, and Fondation de la Fonds du Québec. But I think one aspect that I realized, the more we talk about conservation in the region. And the more we make like awareness and communication on conservation options, there's more and more landowners, families that get in touch.
Some people don't know where to turn to. That's a major problem.
Yeah. And many of them are saying to us, I didn't know that that was an option. And so a lot of people don't know the work of the conservation organization. And a lot of people think that it's only for land donation, but it's also possible to sell, or in English we call it a bargain sale, like part of the transaction can be sold and a part of the value of the property can be with under a charity receipt as well. So there are many options, and I think that we have to communicate more about this option. When people realize that, they're like amazed and they want to do a transaction with us. And so we're 15 organizations that are working in the Green Mountains. So get in touch with us. Contact a conservation organization, and at least if it doesn't happen, at least people will consider it and understand what are their options.
Well, thank you both so much again for coming.
Thanks.
It was really great to meet you both.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Townships Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.